It's not a cartoon. It's anime.
Keaton,
Keaton was done.
Yeah.
Keaton was done on that one.
Yeah,
he was like, oh no.
My ears were like, it was blasting in my ears, bro.
God, that's so
I felt like Brennan.
Funny.
I should have just pulled the Brennan the pull
off. There's no reason to do. There's no reason to keep these on.
Oh man, sorry.
Man, another gift.
But welcome to another episode of Animation. Squad is back three quarters. Myself, Rob, Brennan.
Fuck ice.
No ice.
Yeah. Fuck ice.
He's doing some work. For his short film, I believe. Short film. Yeah, he's doing some stuff for a short film. So, I think he'll be back next week. He said most likely.
That's the plan.
That's the plan for him to come back next week. So, yeah. Don't be like, well, where's Ice? Is he? What happened? Because it's the greatest fucking anime podcast.
I was ready. I was too ready for you.
You was. I would say Brennan was fucking on point.
He was definitely. He had many false starts.
He was like, yeah, this motherfucker's coming for me. I feel it. Quick draw. I give you that, Brennan. I want to give you a props for that one.
I respect the commitment to the bit, to taking off the headphones, because you definitely still hear like every word of it.
Yeah, it's so funny. Yeah, it's not like we're on Zoom anymore. It's like
I have no respect for that statement.
Yeah, okay. it's the symbol. It's just the gesture. Okay,
the symbol of not peace.
Well, you know what we do on the animation podcast. We talk our shit, do one-offs, debates, reviews. We do all those type of things. Man, we have some fun on here. And this week. Season 5, My Hero Academia, man. The first, I guess, the half point or somewhat of the season.
I'm not sure if this is going to be the halfway of the episode or the episodes of the season, but this is certainly the ending of an arc.
Class A versus Class B kind of arc type thing. So Rob got some news for us.
Yeah,
some anime news. So let us know.
Little bit of anime news for you guys. A couple stories. Thought they were interesting. Want to get your thoughts on them. So first of all, we got a little bit of an anime comics crossover here. Upcoming Marvel comic arc will give some of their heroes some mech armor treatment. So Marvel has an upcoming 6-issue arc coming up in the near future called Avengers Tech On that will have several of their classic heroes donning mech-style armor. They actually recruited a bunch of manga artists and writers to help with the design and the story for this. So we've got few guys working on projects that I haven't heard of. Ichi Shimizu. Man.
You sound like me.
I know. Yeah. I was about to say. but he works as an artist on Ultraman, which is, you know, certainly something I've heard of, and Line Barrels of Iron, another mech-style manga and show. He designed the suits and will be doing the covers with his artist partner, Tomohiro Shimoguchi. And then we also have Kenji Anduo, who works on Tiger and Bunny, and Jun Goshima, that redesigned the villain characters, which include Red Skull and Thanos. So they're trying to give them a little bit more of an anime feel as well. They have an American writer, I believe, Jim Zub, who will be writing it, and American artist Jeff Cruz, who will be drawing it.
Boo.
Both, you know, Marvel, they've got proven Marvel track records. You know, they've worked on some Punisher things, I think.
If you said DC track records for animation, I'd be in on it. But Marvel?
Not animation.
Well, no, it's for comics. Yeah, it's for drawn comics. Yeah. It's not necessarily an
okay,
show.
That's fine. I take back my views.
Yeah. But the overall story was actually put together by a guy named Ryoji Shakanishi.
Let's go, Ryoji.
And he's written multiple Gundam storylines, not projects that I'm familiar with. But
damn it, not like Gundam 00 or Unblooded Orphans.
No,
or...
not those two.
Can you give me a couple?
I don't have it in front of me, but I can pull it up for you in a second. But to close this, so just sort of the basic story that they're going to be doing, I guess Red Skull managed to get an ability that actually strips all the heroes of their powers, but Tony Stark, you know, obviously he's Iron Man, so he doesn't really have any powers that he can lose, but he ends up basically building suits for the Avengers that lost their powers.
That gives kind them of simulates their powers.
Exactly. So it's going to be a few chosen few, obviously some very popular names here. You've got Iron Man, obviously you've got Wolverine.
Can we just stop on that? How did he build a suit to simulate the healing factor? I just need to know.
I guess it's just like protection? Maybe it's like...
Yeah.
But I mean, that's all the suits are protection.
But I guess he just gave him the claws, which isn't necessarily a power that Wolverine can lose.
I think Black Panther.
Maybe he doesn't bleed out when he puts him out.
I'll try to figure that one out also.
But there's also Black Panther, Spider-Man, Captain Marvel, and Captain America. And of course, they're going to be releasing a bunch of toys with the event as well. But I sent you guys the article.
The visuals look dope.
Yeah, it looks really cool.
Yeah, I mean, what are your thoughts on the suits? Do you think any of these suits match up to the original character design? Anybody?
Who's your favorite? For me, if I'm going off favorite, I like Wolverine, Black Panther, Captain America look fire to me. Like, they look amazing. I really love Captain America's and Black Panther's a lot.
Yeah, I like Cap's a lot as well. Cap is looking pretty good.
He's looking dope. I can see that even if that was like a standalone character, and they said it wasn't Captain America, of course, the shield would give it away. But if he didn't have a shield, I'd be like, this dude looks dope as hell.
Yeah.
Those are my two. Wolverine doesn't look too bad either.
Is that Captain Marvel in the back?
Yeah, that is Captain Marvel
in the
back.
That's the worst looking one. Really? I'm just not a fan of Captain Marvel, man.
I like Captain Marvel.
I like it.
The suit is all right. I don't mind the suit. For me, the suit that does the worst for me is actually Spider-Man.
Same.
Agree.
I'm not really feeling... It doesn't really translate.
I agree.
I feel the look of
You don't like
Spider-Man.
The turbine on his back?
Not really.
Yeah.
Not feeling it.
Only thing I don't like about Wolverine's suit is like that big ass bulky thing for his nails or whatever, his claws.
He's got like shields and claws.
Yeah, it just looks too bulky for somebody who's normally like an agile character.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Maybe the turbine spins up and gives him the ability to move.
I mean, shouldn't he just have web shooters? Why
so,
he need a turbine?
Brennan, those Gundam quickly? Shows, there was Mobile Suit Gundam UC, and then Gundam Build Driver Rise. I don't know what that is, but so not shows that or mangas that I'm familiar with.
Who's your favorite suit on here?
Mine?
Yeah.
There's
all close shots, too. They have like...
I saw them. Probably Captain America.
Yeah, because
Iron Man doesn't look no different.
Like, no, he's just Iron Man.
Yeah.
I mean, they have like they definitely. If you look at the toy, it looks like they kind of gave him some
like rocket boosters,
and like a gun arm or something, like a Mega Man thing. But yeah, I mean, it's a little bit different, a little bit of things that come the same. But like, if you like, okay, so outside of these characters, what American superhero do you think would do well with the mech suit upgrade? Doesn't have to be Marvel. If you were gonna have some other comic hero
would do well with an upgrade or just have their powers replaced with the mech.
Yeah, like do either one actually.
I think Batman is because I think Batman all the stuff he will add to his suit and his intelligence, I think he would just be somebody that'll be a force after that. You give him like the opportunity to have a mech suit on top of his regular.
Yeah.
You know.
I'm gonna stay in that same space and say actually Red Hood.
Oh yeah,
Red Hood would be really good because just like we all know, he don't give up.
A similar vein. I was kind of thinking Punisher, even though he's sort of an anti-hero. If you gave Punisher a mech suit, it would be game over.
Yeah. It's very similar. Like, Punisher. Can you imagine the Punisher and Red Hood? Like, you know what?
They would get along.
I feel like that would be a really good comic. Like,
they would.
Like, he's like convinces the Punisher to like go and help him try to kill the Joker.
Bro,
like,
they've done crossovers before, I know. So
Punisher and Red Hood?
No, not that. Just general Marvel and DC. I would love to see that. Why haven't they done that crossover yet?
That'd be a great one. Maybe because Red Hood's a lesser known character.
He's one of my favorite stories in all superhero dumb.
It's a great story.
Yeah. And if you don't know it.
Don't spoil.
It's not
they have
right.
animation. They have an anime on.
There is the movie you can go see.
It's so good.
And it's very good.
Have you read Hush?
No.
You should read Hush. It's related.
All right. Thank you.
Recommendation from Cam.
Cameron with the nerdy recommendations out there. I'm here for this.
All right. So the second news story we got, a robot vacuum is actually getting a release in Japan that's going to be totally modded out to feature Captain Levi. Now, this is the Roborock S6 Pure.
A vacuum cleaner is supposed to...
is getting a special model that has Captain Levi design on the top of it and a big old sticker. And the vacuum also comes loaded with 93 original lines from the Captain Levi voice actor. And some of these lines include, commence cleanup of the area. My duty is to ensure that not a single piece of garbage remains in this crappy room as long as I am alive. Stopping the cleanup, choose for yourself to have no regrets. And cleanup concluded, this is real cleaning. Got it? So... apparently, this is inspired by the fact that on the show and on the manga, Levi is a known clean freak. In fact, it's not even the first time he's been used in a cleaning campaign or for a cleaning product. There was a campaign to clean up the bathrooms of the Osaka train line that featured posters of Levi in the bathroom telling people to clean up after themselves and preserve water. And there's also a brand of laundry detergent that features Levi on the front of the bottle, and he appears in, like, ads for the detergent. They did a whole, like,
I have such a mixed feeling about
Attack
this.
On Titan, like, ads for this.
This is so weird. I'm looking at the pictures right now. The pictures are just...
I have two feelings here. Two very strong feelings that are opposing each other at the same
time. That's the one. That's the one.
Wow.
Yep. On one side, I'm like, as somebody who creates content and loves brand deals while I create content, get your money. Do it. On the other side, fuck everything Attack on Titan for season, final season 0.5. Like, what the fuck was that shit? And now they gonna wait until it's, they gonna put out all this brand shit in between.
Yep.
That just tells me the whole thing is a money grab. Okay, that's it. I'm done. I'm just, it makes me
I mean,
so
what do you think it was?
But all anime stuff is a money grab. Dragon Ball Super is literally, and Naruto, all the shit, all the shit is Bleach, One Piece, all this is a huge money grab for right now. Like,
Demon Slayer is pure.
Demon Slayer is a for sure money grab.
It's I mean, it's art. All.
It's incredible. But
I mean, they know. I bought the sword, by the way. It came.
We said it came in. Yeah.
Yeah, it's very nice.
Really? Like a real sword? Or
remember the ones I sent you? The ones that I was
oh,
like,
the mini ones.
Yeah, yeah. They're bigger than you think, and they're metal.
And really?
Yeah, the quality is actually pretty good.
Yeah, so you guys have probably seen these. That, like, we get served in. I know I got served these as ads, like, on Instagram. Like,
me too. Yeah.
These little mini swords, replicas of, like, the Demon Slayer core
swords. Yeah.
Like, that go on your keychain. But, like, Brennan, you showed up and it was huge.
Yeah, it's too big for a keychain. And it's also, I expected it to be, like, a really nice plastic, but it was metal.
Damn.
Like, I was actually, like, this is the first time I've bought something on Instagram ever. And I wasn't like, ugh.
Yeah.
No, this time.
Right.
Yeah, like everything else. I bought some My Hero Academia. I never even told y'all, did I?
No,
I bought some
My
Hero Academia shoes and a jacket, and I never told anybody because I was embarrassed.
Yeah, you didn't tell us that.
No, that came in the mail, and I was just like,
you're supposed to bring it here so we can at least roast it.
It's trash.
You should bring it so we can just see
the
quality. Yes. I'll bring them in. It's just like, you're going to be like, the shoes, it's like, if you really, really wanted to rock them, you did it the right way, maybe.
Sure.
But the jacket was trash.
Would they put the characters' faces on it? Like, how? Cause I still used to see a lot of those online, like the Dragon Ball ones. I was just like, for $90, that seems a little too cheap.
Like, they were so close to having something so great, but they weren't. But either way, back to the swords.
Yeah,
I'm very, very happy.
Did you buy us all one? Because I mean, you asked us. I mean, you asked me. You were like, hey, which one do you like?
And no, I definitely didn't buy you one. I just wanted to see which one you
like. Oh man, get the fuck out of here! When he said it, I was like, hey man, you know, I like those games, man. This is pretty cool. I was like, all right, cool.
I just wanted to make sure I didn't have the one you would have liked.
He didn't want to double up.
I was sitting there like waiting, like, okay, I'm gonna get my Inosuke one coming soon. Cool.
No, mm-mm. Definitely didn't buy it.
Nope.
100% just bought my sword for me.
But now, you know,
I
Kenan,
might do it now.
You can get yourself in 2 days. You can order yourself a Captain Levi robot vacuum cleaner.
He brought it back
for $635.
What?
$635.
He knew what he was doing there.
Wow. For the Captain Levi robot vacuum.
I mean, if you're
paying like
$100
for each, like,
yeah. I mean,
I just barely now found a vacuum that actually vacuums my hardwood floors. Vacuum, sorry, vacuums my hardwood floors like well. Because I had another one that just was terrible. So I did literally vacuum then sweep again.
So are you saying you're gonna get it?
Fuck no! For $600 something, I guarantee
you
get it.
Custom,
talks like Captain Levi.
It has custom
in Japanese,
lines,
so you probably wouldn't even understand.
See, I mean,
this would be kind of hilarious.
Both Levi characters are actually pretty good. I like it.
That'd be very funny. Can you imagine how funny that would be?
Could we get one for the
somebody comes to your house and you just have a Levi thing that's yelling at you in Japanese all the time,
telling you to clean your crappy room.
You just learned it. It's like, oh, it's just saying that it doesn't like the dust.
Yeah, we should get one for the office.
I mean, it's a consideration.
You can write it off.
Maybe. I don't know. I think it'll be useless here because our cleaners do an excellent job.
They do a good job.
I think it'd just be funny to have it roaming around just spinning.
Good job,
Japanese. Cleaner,
if it doesn't have like the little swords that pop, little things that pop out, there's no what is the point of this?
So if it did, would you buy it? And then
I would like it more.
It just started spinning like a fucking battle bot or something.
Yeah.
You got to watch out for the cleaner because it'll come for your ankles.
Or those are like extra.
Every time it bumps somebody, it just pops out the swords and starts spinning.
Oh my God.
That's how it gets the corners because the corners are so, you know, because it's one of those little circle vacuums. So it can't get a corner well. But it then pops out like a little sword and goes, zzz, it gets like a little corner for you.
That service.
It should have asked me, man. Then it'd be worth $600. But this shit right here, it's a picture of him. That's it.
And his voice.
And the voice. It said custom.
How much does the voice have to get paid?
That's what I'm wondering. Probably not very much if we know anything about the anime world.
Moving on. I feel depressed now.
Yeah, but I mean, if not Levi, what character or actor do you think, what voice would you put in a robot vacuum? What would motivate you to get you to clean your room?
Oh, can I say it?
Yeah, go for it.
I forget his name, but the guy, Mob Psycho's teacher guy.
Oh, Reagan.
That would be hilarious.
That would be so funny.
It has to be anime or just a voice?
Yeah, just anybody.
I would take Reagan all day.
That'd be fun.
Damn, that's tough, bro.
Because I feel like they do this, you know, they do this for like GPS things too, where you can have like Snoop Dogg give you directions or whatever.
I think Mr. T would be really good too.
Mr. T would be good.
Yeah. I feel like back in the day, Mr. T would have sold like hotcakes for sure.
Yeah.
Go go for it, Rob. I ain't got one right now.
Yeah, no, I don't necessarily have somebody off the top of my head. I was mostly gonna see what you guys did, but if I had to pick somebody going off of anime, what would be funny? I would say damn, I don't know. This is a hard question. I'm sorry.
What would be annoying and funny would be the electric guy from Demon Slayer.
Oh my god, that would be so. I wouldn't be able to like, keep that.
No, you know what? This is what I would do. I would buy, if I had the money, I would spend $600 and buy fucking Rob a Bakugo vacuum, dog.
And just have him, and it just screams.
Oh my god, that'd be so. And you would hate it so much.
You would have to use it.
I would. That would motivate me to like hand scrub every corner of my apartment so that I never had to use it. Like, no, we don't have to put that out. It's fine. The place is spick and span. It's clean.
Just cut that shit off.
But like, do you even think like they were talking about they've been using like Levi for public ad campaigns, like to clean up the bathroom. Do you think something like that would work here in America? Like if they put Omni Man up on a poster, like, hey, you better clean this bathroom.
I do. 100%.
Yeah.
I think marketing wise, that would be hilarious.
Same reach?
Yeah. Do they have any like statistics on like whether that like helped?
I didn't see if
cleaning?
It actually worked or not, because
I can see us doing that definitely.
No, I mean, look at it like this: it's like we do that now with our actors that are the biggest actors. So
true.
If anime is as big as like the traditional Hollywood here, that is as anime is there, then we're doing the same thing.
I'm low key surprised that they haven't utilized Dragon Ball Z more here, like Goku, because Goku is known
for being a horrible father,
but he's known here by most people, black, white, Mexican, anything. At different ages, like older, younger, our age, all that stuff like that. But I don't see them ever use him in any type of marketing campaigns. He's never as a toy for anything. It's like, that's weird to me. I feel like here, he has a big enough reach to where I think he would sell.
Yeah. I want to say, don't hold me to this. I think, because I know we have the Summer Olympics coming up in Japan soon. They were supposed to be last year. They're going to be. I think Goku might actually be a representative or like a mascot for the upcoming.
I remember that. I don't know if they've kept that, but I remember for a couple years ago.
Aren't they still talking about just not even doing it because Japan's still struggling with the event?
I don't even know what this current situation is, but which is tough because the summer games are the fun ones.
Last I heard, it's not looking so good for Japan.
Bah, that's tough.
But yeah, the Japanese people themselves are just like, nah, fam.
We don't want this.
They're smart.
Yeah. Don't come here.
No,
I'm not that at all.
Yeah, Brazil took on the world.
They took on that Argentina gave up because they're under.
Yeah, Argentina was like, no, don't have it here. The COVID's too bad here. And then Brazil was like, it's actually worse here, but come on in.
Yeah, that sounds like Brazil.
Yeah, the president of Brazil don't give a fuck.
Nope.
He's just like, hey, you know what? Like, this shit's fake.
We still got all of our facilities.
Yeah. But I mean,
pool's still green.
They're probably looking at it like how much is going to boost their economy, at least for that time being.
So well, yeah, he's that's all he wants.
Unless he gets impeached.
Ooh. Might be what he's trying to
avoid. That's true. Yeah.
You definitely, at some point, you become directly responsible for all these people dying because you irresponsibly acted as a person in power.
Yeah, I got no argument with you.
Yeah. But anyway, that's our anime news. We got a vacuum cleaner with Levi, and we got some mech suits coming to the Marvel world pretty soon, coming from some manga artists.
Thanks, Rob.
Yeah.
Would you buy one of those mech suits? Like, if they had a life-size one, like, that you can wear, would you buy one of those Iron Man or...
Does it, like, do everything those suits do?
I mean, not in real life, but it would light up. It would make the sounds.
No.
It would do.
No.
Nope.
Nah, probably not. If it comes fully assembled, I mean, how much dispensable income do I have? Just like now? No.
No, now.
Rob looks at his fiance like, hey, I got an idea.
Yeah, right. Like, my apartment is too small for something like that. I'm already
right. I'm just like, hey, baby, so you remember that fantasy I told you?
He's coming in
like, pops open. I'm done.
I mean,
pops open, this guy right
Great.
Honestly, if that comes as a feature, that's a selling point. That is
it
definitely
is. No,
a feature.
It's a big selling point.
That's a feature.
I say this with all the grains of salt, but definitely could see Rob in this pulling out suit.
Man.
Like, yo, what up, girl?
I can see Rob coming
you
back.
See my Iron Man suit? You get it?
Yeah,
get
but then it? One server would move the wrong way and he'd like break his leg and then it'd be over.
Oh god. No, that sounds horrible now.
Cam, don't do it. Cam, you ruined all fun, bro.
I mean, Keenan. I mean, Cannon.
Damn,
Cannon.
Bro. What's happening with you? Are you smelling the toast? Are you doing all right?
You're good, man. Bro, I got here at 6:30 this morning. Damn. I'm tired.
No, okay. Oh, yeah. Okay. All right. Yeah, he just got it from Lexington. All right, man. Yeah. So let's move on. My Hero Academia Season 5. The end of an arc. We don't know if it's the middle of the season or not, but it's the end of like the class A, class B arc. Raj, recap, man.
Yeah, so this season starts off with the students at UA getting back to their hero training after their big talent show, going up against the big three for a training exercise. Well, really just the big two, since Mirio still doesn't have his powers. But in the pro hero world, Endeavor is still healing up from his fight with the souped-up Nomu, and we see some flashbacks right after the battle finished. Dobby, actually, the blue flame villain, showed up and threatened to kill both Endeavor and Hawks, but some other hero showed up. He gets outnumbered. He's like, all right, I'm out of here. Later, Hawks meets up with Dobby, and it appears actually for a bit that they might be working together, but it turns out Hawks is actually trying to infiltrate the League of Villains as a spy to take them down from the inside. So after recovering from his injuries and left with a huge scar, Dever's trying to reconcile with his family for being such an enormous asshole. But most are not really ready to forgive him. Todoroki, though, does seem to think that there could be a way back for him if he really, really keeps trying.
He's a good dad, man. He's who I picked. I'm rooting for you, Endeavor.
He's working on it. He's got a long
he's doing his best. He's definitely doing his best.
Deku, meanwhile, is having trouble with One For All. He has a mysterious dream where he sees the owner of the original owner of One For All getting his power from All For One. And the original user and the shades of the other users are trying to communicate with Deku, and it activates the power in his sleep. And it gets him kind of freaked out. He tried to go talk to All Might about it, but none of that really sounds familiar to him at all. He's just like, I no idea what to tell you, Deku. And there's no real time to figure it out, though, because the next event the school has planned is a competition between Class 1A and Class 1B. And Vlad and his class of heroes are always looking to show up Class 1A. There is a twist, though. Shinso, the student with the brainwashing powers from general studies, has been doing some training with Eraserhead and is looking to transfer into the hero course. He gets a chance to work with both classes and show, you know, if he has what it takes. So with that, what follows is five 4-on-4 matches where each team tries to capture the other members of the other team, and the winning class gets bragging rights, essentially. So in the first match, Shinso joins Class 1A. And when they get in trouble, he shows off his new tech, a voice modulator that allows him to sound like other people. And he uses the same raps that Eraser has uses as weapons. So Karishma and Koda get caught by Class 1B, but Kaminari, Asui, and Shinso team up, outsmart Class 1B, and win the first point. Second match, strategic matchup between Yo Yuzaru and Kendo, who intern together. And even though Tokiyami debuts his new flying ability that he learned while working with Hawks, Kendo's plan is just too good, and Class 1B scores a point of their own. In match three, we get Aida and Todoroki leading Team 1A, and they show off their improved abilities as well. Aida used a family training technique to vastly improve his running ability, and Todoroki is able to use his father's signature move, driving up the heat to these crazy high temperatures.
Which is crazy. That was so dope.
But yeah. It's an exhausting endurance match, and Class 1B is able to hang on, and the match just ends in a complete draw when everybody on both sides just like collapses in exhaustion and is trapped under debris and all this kind of crap. Match four, though, Bakugo shows how far he's come as a team player.
Good Lord.
Since failing the provisional license exam. He leads Class 1A to a quick shutout victory in an impressive performance where he actually works with his teammates and instead of trying to do everything himself. In the last matchup, we've got Deku and Uraraka.
Hold on, I just want to talk about Bakugo for a second.
Okay, sure, yeah.
Holy shit, bro. Like, when he was just like, yo, I got you. Don't worry about it. I got your back. He had their back.
He did.
Yeah. He looked at him. I was like, somebody was about to get one of the people. He was just like, no. Like, this is my team. That was my favorite moment of that episode. When he protected, like, his teammate, I was just like, okay, Bakugo.
Came back, kicked off the back, bam. Yeah.
And then they protected him.
Yeah, when they sprung the trap, like, that Sugar Rush dude was like, all right, I'm ready to sacrifice myself. And even then, you know, Bakugo came in riding out for the team. So, big moment for him, big fight for him.
And I also like that they compared Bakugo and Midoriya a lot, because they're like, their courts are kind of similar in the way that they use them. Mm-hmm. And is that like their mobility and their speed and their power is just undeniable, you know? And it's definitely just like, and their instincts. So it's just like, these guys, like, you got to kind of, in this kind of match setting, you got to treat them the same. It's like, you don't want no parts of a direct fight with either one of these guys.
Yeah,
nobody there. They all knew. They're like, unless you're Todoroki, even Todoroki, I don't even know if he wants a part of a fight with either one of these guys.
He can't go all out. Because his whole thing was like, I can't go all out, can I?
So I'll kill people.
Yeah.
Yeah, he'll kill people. He's like, I will burn this whole thing to the ground.
Yeah.
It's true. It's true. That last matchup, of course, you've got Deku and Uraraka going up against Team 1B and Shinso. Deku is nervous since Shinso's brainwashing ability has had weird effects on One For All before, and it's, you know, been going haywire recently in general. Unknown to him, though, All For One hears his brother speaking to him in prison and maybe, like, manipulating the situation from afar. Something weird's going on there. In the match, though, things get off to a smooth start at first, but when Class 1B taunts Deku to make him angry, he loses control of his quirk. Black tendrils erupt from his arms and start wreaking havoc.
You say tendrils?
Tendrils.
Oh, all right. Go on.
Like tentacles? Bit.
I've heard tentacles. I've never heard tendrils before.
Tendrils?
Tendrils, yeah. It's like they're like, I would assume, smaller than tentacles.
Something like that. I have no idea.
I thought he just made that word up. Go on.
But Uraraka and Shinso team up to get Deku under control, and he has visions where he talks to another one of the previous owners of One For All, who explains what he's experiencing is his quirk. And that all the previous owner quirks are still dormant within him. And when it's all said and done, it sounds like Deku's going to have access to 8 different quirks.
Bro, this is
most powerful superhero of all time.
That this is why I guess he becomes the number one hero, because that is just unfair, bro. I saw that.
All Might's like, what?
I was happy, but I was just like, dog, they're OP. They're gonna OP the fuck.
No,
out
they're
of
not.
Here.
Have you seen like the villains that are coming that All For One has created? You not remember that guy out in the forest? Like
the
junks,
big dude.
The people that are coming for him right now are terrifying. Like if he didn't have this quirk exactly as it is, the heroes are screwed. Like they have no chance. Endeavor's gonna die. Like Hawks is possibly a bad guy anyway. That's your number one and two heroes right there. Who else you got? Like Bakugo's gonna put up a
Killer
good fight.
Killer Shamu and
yeah, like best genist. You know what I'm saying? Like,
hey, respect the best genist, bro.
And what happened to him? Inch of his life, fam. You know what I'm saying? Like, all I'm saying is, look, I get where you're coming from, but they're doing a really good job of setting up the villains as well. And those villains, I think, are about to take every little piece out of Deku to be able to. He's going to need all these quirks for these motherfuckers.
That's going to be tough.
All these people he's fighting are going to have multiple quirks. And don't forget, we still have the ability for quirks to be taken away from people.
That's true. That's absolutely true. Yeah. But he does snap out of it. The match resumes with Deku, and he's able to use his new Black Whip power sparingly. But has a long way to go to master it. Still, even with just his...
Rob, hold on. Yeah. There's a lot of lingo in there that just was so weird. Black whips, master. It was just like a lot of...
Isn't that what it's called? The black whip power?
I feel like...
My brain put that together. I'm sorry. Maybe I'm for sure reaching.
What
but it was just hilarious.
About, Keenan?
Huh?
What are you thinking about right now?
I'm just thinking
yeah,
of just
no, like Keenan, like,
some
yo.
Slave shit. Get the whip out. Call me master.
Is that's that what where, Deku was doing?
That's what... No, I'm just saying. The lingo that was used was what I... I'm not saying you, Rob. I'm
right,
just saying,
of course.
Yes, of course, yes.
As you were, Rob.
All right. Well, he still got to work on it. But even with still it's just his regular powers, Class 1A is able to score another shutout victory. Not quite as quick as Bakugo is able to. And they win the overall event. Still, Class 1B proves they do have some major players in their ranks. Certainly not everyone. But they can hold their own in some ways. So Shinso gets his passing grade as well, and it sounds like he will join the hero course, but we still got to wait to find out which class he's going to fall into. Didn't sound like they'd kind of landed on where he was going to go. Mm. But after that, that's where we ended the arc, and we're going to be moving forward as, you know, Deku's got a bunch of more powers to figure out.
I wonder how long it's going to take to unravel all this stuff. I don't think it's going to get done the rest of the season, but this is making me actually want to read the manga now. Like this particular mm-hmm. season is making me want to read and speed up, plus some other stuff about Dobby that I want to know. So yeah, thank you, Rob, for Rob's recap, man. Yep. As always, impressive. Let's get into these Keenan's questions.
You mean the questions?
Keenan's questions. Rob recap, Keenan's questions.
Keenan's questions. I'm into it.
Oh, all right. I didn't know Keenan wrote all the questions. That's crazy. Go ahead, Keenan.
Well, I'm just
he's moderating.
Moderating
it. He's moderating the questions, Brennan.
Oh.
Brennan just has to be. Like
Brennan,
has...
if you wanted a segment, you didn't have to ask.
Like
I do have a segment.
He does have a segment.
Factual Actuals.
Brennan's Factual Actuals. Gave him his own shit and everything.
But I do all of them myself. He does the whole research mm-hmm. the thing himself. How about the questions?
The questions, I'm just moderating it. It's, I guess, my portion, but...
You moderate the whole podcast.
I mean, do we? We can do this. We can go. We can do this if we want to take the rest of the podcast for this. I don't care.
You think I do?
Gonna get to the bottom.
Yes,
of
I think
it?
You do. Because you're like, we're just wasting time. You're that guy. So I don't care.
I'm saying I feel like you could have had a better name for it. That's all. Go on.
Keenan's Question Corner.
Keenan's.
On to Keenan's questions. First question.
He wants to fight me. He
no, does. I don't. So who's impressed you the most from each class, and who's impressed you the least, Rob?
Okay. So I don't know. This may be a bit of a surprise. But from Class A, I was most impressed with Bakugo. I think he, I mean, I don't know if there's another choice there. I mean, you guys may have a different choice. But for me, the fact that he was, I mean, he already clearly as an individual fighter has a lot of talent. But the fact that he's now becoming a team player as well, I think is taking him to that next level and was kind of giving him everything that he was missing before. From Class B, I would say the person that impressed me the most was actually Kendo. She was the only person that ended up getting a point scored for her class. She was clearly the leader. You know, had an axe to grind with Yoyu Zaru, trying to like show that she's different. You know, she's got, you know, a different sort of thing going for her, and outsmarted her, played her own game, and beat her, and got Class B the only point that they were able to score. For my least impressed, it's got to be Naval Laser. I'm trying to remember what Naval Laser guy did, and I think he just got kidnapped. Yeah. The shadow dude just like kind of
he shined light down
briefly,
bro. That didn't.
But they still ended up losing that match, and I don't feel like he was one of the people that was keeping him close to in the match.
Yeah.
I would say Tokoyami was probably a big part of the reason why the match went as long as it did because of his new ability. And for Class B, the person that actually impressed me the least was Jack Mantis, the Blade Bug. He was in the fight against Bakugo, and I would say based on everybody in that fight, he was the one that had the least impact. You had the girl that could split up. She was kind of hiding their movements. You had the glue guy that laid the trap, and it looked like it was going to be a successful trap until Bakugo came in there, messed it up. And you even had the welder dude who was able to trap Bakugo momentarily.
Yeah.
Blade Bug guy just got fucking smacked up. Bakugo just handed him his own ass. And maybe it's because his power where he can just like, He can make blades appear. Like, I don't know how you make that work in a school setting because he can't just be cutting people up. That doesn't seem right for the show. Like, maybe out on the street, that's something that's more useful as a hero power. But in here, he really didn't impact the game at all.
The Stain style of fighting.
He could be.
Yeah.
But those are the people that I was most and least impressed with from the classes on this competition.
I mean, you took mine. I don't know if you took Brennan's too, but I feel
can
like
go if you want.
No, okay. I had a backup.
I mean, you can elaborate.
I would say Bakugo, but then I would just go for my other pick was actually I think Froggy.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, she did. Yeah.
She to me, she's been very impressive. I feel like she's going to be a great leader. I don't know necessarily her power, her being super strong, but I feel like she was coming up with great plans, and I feel like she's always back as. I guess her intellect is helping her become just a better strategist, as I guess that's the right.
She does seem to have like developed her powers much more than almost anybody else. Yeah. Like it feels like she has like so many different tools available to her within the subset of frog powers.
Yeah.
She's made kind of what could be a shitty power pretty useful.
Yeah, and I like they give her a lot of highlights too, because every time I'd be like, it's like, yeah, the power of frog. I'm like, this just seems so crappy. But then she just does things, whether it's like making their bodies being, thinking everybody's hurt. So when they're going, you can't tell who it is. It's like I think she came up with one of the better intellectual minds out of this whole group. From Class B, did we see the other dude, the shadow dude before?
I don't remember
him. No, I don't think so.
I don't remember.
So it's hard for me to say he's most improved, but that's who I thought was super dope from Class B.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's not even necessarily most improved. This is just who impressed you.
Yeah, I would say him. I like this dude. I liked him a lot. I just like his look. His look is fire to me.
He's creepy.
It reminded me of, I feel like something off a Full Metal Alchemist, like one of the, I guess.
Oh yeah, like kind of the dwarf in the jar, like just like like the eyes and the smile.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I would say he definitely impressed me. Least impressed from Class 1A. It's the same dude, it's Laser dude, but I would just go with the purple ball dude. He actually did have some strategic stuff when he put the balls all over the place, mm-hmm. and he had people so they can get put on there and they can stick to it or whatever the case may be. But I'm just still like, I don't know what he's going to ever do. Like, I don't know what he's going to, as a real hero, what can he do? Class B, least impressed, I guess. the horn, the pony, the horn chick, the the horns. I just didn't care.
No, I get that. And her English was not very good.
Because she was speaking in English at times, right?
Yeah, they were trying. It was tough.
It was really weird, but I didn't care for anything that she did. I was just like, get her off the screen.
Yeah, I get that.
That's me. Brendan?
I'm just trying to get up one thing. That was in the storylines of my flask. Yeah, okay, I didn't care about that. Okay, so for my class A, most impressed, I'm going to actually go opposite of you. I'm actually going to say the purple guy. He's been my least favorite character of the entire show. I never thought there'd be any use to him. And, like, they used the shit out of him in these episodes. Like, he was able to bounce off of those balls and, like, move at lightning speed to where he became a purple streak and was terrifying.
Still a
and
pervert.
And then he stuck, yeah.
Definitely still a pervert.
Still a pervert. That's just who he is. But I was actually just impressed with the way he fought. Like, this is the first time he's ever done anything where he wasn't scared. He always has been too scared to fight anybody. This time he's like, let's go. He was head in and led the fight to protect his friends. Like, I've never seen him do that. And not only on top of that, he was helping overwhelm the other team. And he's the one who made it so it was easy to capture all of them. You know what I'm saying? It's like, when they capture them, like, they were pushing people up against his purple balls on the walls that he laid there for them to push against. And then, you know, like.
One person.
Huh? There was only one. I thought he caught two of them with the purple balls.
I think it was just, he put one girl up against the wall.
That's a way to put it.
I guess the ball, the wall. Either way you put it was horrible. You put it against the ball, put it against the wall.
I found that to be really impressive because, like, Bakugo obviously won this, and, you know, I thought that was he was. Great.
I don't knock that. I had to pick somebody.
No, I get that. Yeah.
I really like Tokiyama too, but I still wasn't impressed. I was for him. The most impressive on the other side of it for class 1B was Ibarra Shizozaki. Her name is. What is her
the vine girl?
Yeah, the vine chick.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
She was fire, bro. Like, she was a problem.
She's definitely a problem.
She is a problem. She was like...
She's the Bulbasaur class B.
The Venusaur.
She does
the
have Venusaur. The vine whip.
Okay, yeah, yeah,
she's the Venusaur. Bulbasaur ain't whooping ass like her.
That's true.
Like, I think she would be able to handle in a one-on-one fight a lot of the people in the show.
Yeah, her powers, when she gets... I think she has a lot of potential for her powers to be crazy.
Yeah, I fully agree.
Yeah.
So my least impressed characters from Class A, I'm going to say is...
Who didn't do it? Who didn't do it for you, Brennan?
Pick some good ones, guys. I'm going last here. Visible Girl?
Yeah, I could see that.
She just...
Yeah.
I don't know, man.
She was definitely on that team that lost, too.
Yeah, she ain't doing shit. I've never liked her, so I'm just like, whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not okay. Her. So, least impressed on Class 1B. Can I just give a shout-out to the guy who was, like, the manga guy?
That dude was
awesome. I was like, yo, he could dominate all things. Just yell
that
a lot.
That was pretty fun.
It was fun. I didn't like him that much.
I didn't like the guy, the Bondo guy.
Which one is that?
He's
the welder?
The weird guy, like the glue guy.
Oh, yeah, the glue guy. No, for sure.
Yeah.
I'm just
I can see that.
And then, especially like after his, like, he did his thing, and that was it. That's what he had.
He was kind of a second choice for me because in that matchup, like, he tried the one glue thing, and then he got fucked up.
And he just like, let me run away, and he was slow and clunky. Yeah. I'm just like, oh, he looks like cannon fodder to me. Like, this is the character whose ass gets beat.
Yeah,
no doubt.
Yep. I like that metal guy too. He's pretty cool.
The metal guy went hard against Todoroki.
Yeah,
he definitely stepped up
than the Class A guy version of him.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like he's terrifying. Like he's like they're like start the match. He's like I'm destroying everything. Yeah, like oh my god. Yeah.
All right. Who would you say is the most improved? I would just go from what you're most impressed with. I would say Bakugo. Mm-hmm. I think his leadership skills improved for sure. And I think that was where I just thought he was going to always be one of those just like, I'll do it by myself type dudes. He had somewhat of a decent plan. I mean, the plan, I guess it wasn't super, super impressive, but for him it was. And for the fact that he's able to work with other people, which I feel like he struggled at besides, I think, with Red Raider was the other dude that he...
Yeah,
Red Riot.
That's what we normally partners with, but he was able to actually work with other people when they fucking got it done and got it done faster than anybody else, like, with no...
They lit them up.
Clean sweep. He came in there and was like, yo, I'm not having any casualties in this bitch.
And this has to be definite. This has to be absolute. This has to be undisputed.
And it was.
To say that for somebody who's considered probably a reckless character... I gotta give him mad love. He's still annoying as shit just for yelling for no reason. But most improved, gotta go. Bakugo.
Bakugo.
Brennan.
I'm gonna go Ida. Inguin. You know whatever his name is.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was just like, did you see, like, he literally had to pull those pipes out of his, like, he was bleeding and shit out of his legs.
Yeah, it did not look fun.
That didn't look fun. And he was like, He got after it.
Yeah, he did.
Like,
yeah.
They were like, everybody, like, the guy who fought him was like, oh, I am not ready. I need to leave.
Yeah, like, I gotta get out of here.
This guy is serious. It was like, he was a problem until they dropped an entire building on him. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, he was a problem.
That animation with him was so dope when he started to go ham.
Yeah, super fast.
Yeah.
I didn't see his growth happening that level. Because for me, like, I always thought his power was really whack. I have an engine in my legs. I run kind of fast.
But he was always here. He was always this guy.
Yeah, I know. But, like, remember what happened? Like, he wasn't intellect until, what's his name? I just said his name, the bad guy.
They
killed his brother.
Stane.
Yeah, until Stane showed up. He wasn't in his head for that. He was like, I'm going to go avenge my brother by myself. Like, took the biggest F. If it wasn't for Midoriya and Todoroki, he would be dead.
He would be dead.
He'd be 100% dead because of his own stupidity. And he didn't use his head. So that's what I'm saying. Like, when it comes to growth, like, not only is he now a problem in a fight, you know, I'm sure emotionally he's evolved a lot as well. Wouldn't go after somebody by himself like an idiot. So I say most improved.
Rob.
Yeah, no, I agree with both your picks. I think they're great. I think Aida would have been my second choice. Actually, similar to Brennan's most impressed, I actually went with Mineta on this for most improved because I think I don't disagree that Bakugo was definitely the best singular performer in all this, but I felt like Mineta started from a much lower floor and kind of got to, okay, he's pretty good. I feel like if at his peak, he could be like role player off the bench kind of thing.
Yeah.
And who's that again? I'm sorry.
Mineta is the purple ball guy.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So because he did hit, he had the speedy thing, but the other thing that the power that made me go, oh, I never really thought of that is a useful thing when he made the shield. Out of the
That was crazy.
He made a shield with like the purple balls on there, and so if like he could like play a more defensive role, block people, like if especially as a hero, like making sure you capture people, I think he could be a great role player in that regard.
Yeah,
but he's never going to be like a bright, flashy fighter.
No.
Like Deku or Bakugo.
He could be like a very like quick and thought like intelligent. You know, kind of like, what's his name? The guy who died, Night Eye or whatever?
Yeah.
Yeah, something like that where he's just like, you know, it's like the fight starts and he just rolls one of them. You know what I'm saying?
He's got a long way to go to get to Night Eye.
Yeah, yeah. But I'm saying just like you just stick somebody's foot to the door before the fight even, to the floor right before it even starts.
The bad part about it is that for him, I think what's going to always be his weakness is women. I think they're going to probably master Roshi him out.
He's like, an HR nightmare.
Yeah. An HR nightmare is incredible. Not incredible, but incredible. But yeah. I feel like if he's going against like a villain that's a woman, then if she shows him anything, he's just gonna be like nosebleed. You know how they do it on anime.
Argument there.
Yeah.
He has quite the obstacle to climb, but he could get to solid role player status. And so I think he made a big leap here. Also, as Brennan pointed out, this was one of the first times I remember him being like, oh, I'm actually going to do this.
Yeah.
He didn't just freak out.
Okay. Who is the second most powerful student in the show right now? And are we gonna include, I'm guessing we're saying
we're saying Midoriya is the most powerful.
Oh, so not Lemillion.
Lemillion doesn't have powers right now. I said right now.
Right now? Okay.
Brennan. So I'd say the first most powerful to me is Midoriya. Well, I guess right now it would be Bakugo, wouldn't it?
Powerful?
Yeah.
I guess it depends on how you want to look at it.
Yeah, so this is a very subjective one because I think for me, I was thinking of this because I was assuming that Midoriya was the most powerful. And then I was like, okay, so then there's Bakugo. But Bakugo is the obvious answer. But if you think about it, I'm like, this brainwashing dude. And then Todoroki. I was like, there's a lot here. I was going to actually go with Todoroki.
Yeah.
I was going to go with Todoroki just because if Todoroki gets his mental block out of the way, as I've said many, many times before, he really just like, you know, what's this Aqualad character about? Like, it's going to be over. When he can like make hot and cold meat, like he already did it. He only did it one time. He did it on the Hero Festival, the Hero First Festival against Midoriya, when Midoriya destroyed his body to fight this guy, and he hit him with fire and ice at the same time. You guys remember that?
Yeah.
You know, like if he was starting to do that to people, it's over. You know what I'm saying? Like, what's Bakugo gonna do? Bakugo's gonna be like flying around all that kind of stuff, and he's just gonna be like, hands and just be like,
who did you say before that had like that type of power? When we talk about My Hero Academia, and you was like, yo, this person, when they do that, they can create storms and all that.
Yeah, that's
stuff.
Aqualad. That's what I was just talking about.
Aqualad
could literally create a hurricane underwater or a tornado on land. Like, the dude is like, he's one of the most powerful characters. He's insane.
Yeah. That is pretty nuts.
You know, he's like, and all he does is turn things hot and cold. That's it.
So I think if Todoroki got loose, he's the strongest. I don't think Midoriya. I think I don't know. I think that would be tough to say he's just the second strongest. I think if it was like a whole, all right, y'all can go all out, but we have like a revival or a Dragon Ball. So yeah, if you die, we can revive you. I can't sit there and say Deku's the strongest like that. I just mm-hmm. couldn't. So I guess second best, if that's what you're gonna go with, as Midoriya as your point.
Yep.
And you use Todoroki because that was also mine. I would go with Monomo, the dude that can kind of take your powers.
Okay.
Guy can touch you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think he can be. I guess it's what Stain does. He paralyzes you when he gets your blood, right?
That's
what he does. I think if this dude, if he's he could be super dope if he can just do anything, like, or even if he's just using his other friend's powers first to get to your power, I think he can be super, super dangerous. I didn't want to pick the obvious answer to Bakugo. I wanted to try to go something else, but I think this guy can be super crazy. But I guess we'll talk about something else when we lead into another question, who I think can be an absolute fucking monster if he does it right. Rob.
Yeah, I mean, I think Todoroki definitely is probably the second most powerful as far as, like, if you're just going to go based off of what the potential is. But if I guess we're talking about right now, I think it is hard to make a case against Bakugo as far as just...
Yeah.
He may not have the most powerful quirk, but I don't know if there's another character that's as in tune with his quirk and knows how to use it better than Bakugo. Bakugo is just a 10 out of 10 at using his ability in a way that's effective, and you saw that work very well in the fact that every other one of these fights took two episodes and Bakugo's fight was like half of one. And they just cleaned up. And even the fact that he's like bottling his sweat now and making grenades out of it and handing it out, like, the dude just knows his power set top to bottom. And that's what makes him so dangerous in that. Like, I think it's unquestionable that Deku is a more powerful fighter, even as it stands right now.
Mm-hmm.
But because of Bakugo's ability to, Deku's at 20%. You know what I mean? Like, that's what we know he's at 20% right now. Bakugo is operating on a much higher level.
Yeah, he is.
With his power than I think almost anybody else. And so for me right now, I'd say he's probably the second most powerful.
Okay.
You think he's, I mean, right now he could take Midoriya, in my opinion, though.
I mean, yeah. I mean, they fought each other in real, like, not real world time, because it's
season
been like
four,
yeah,
he whooped his ass.
3 or 4 years at this point. But I mean, in their world, yeah, it was only a couple months ago and he pinned him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I think he also might have better just fighting skills overall, possibly than Midoriya.
Better instincts, for
sure. He's been training with it longer. Like, he's had his quirk since, you know, he's had his quirk for like a decade at this point. He's spent clearly a lot of time playing around with it.
Yeah. All right, next question. If you were one of the teachers of UA, would you admit Shinsu, the brainwasher guy, into your course based off how he did, Rob?
So, watching his performance, I think that there's clearly potential. But based off of what he did, I don't think I would allow Shinso into the hero course based off of these tests.
Really?
And that's because I think he's still too reliant on the tech. You know what I mean? I think without the voice modulator, without the cloth whips that he's been, you know, training with from Eraserhead... if you take those away, I don't think he stands up. I don't think he stands toe to toe with any of the other kids in these classes. And I think if you put him in a scenario where he's got to go out and work as a hero right now, he's just not going to be, he's only going to be, I think, useful in very specific situations. Mm-hmm. And especially if you know that guy could be coming, we saw that these teams were able to adjust to his power in a way that, like, kind of made him a little bit useless. So I would say, based off that performance, I would say you still got some training to do. You got some things to figure out. Kind of like Tony told Peter in Spider-Man Homecoming, like, if you're nothing with the suit, then you're nothing with the suit. And right now, he's still not showing me enough that he's not
suit. So if you're nothing without the suit, then you're nothing with the suit.
Yeah.
Got it. Okay.
So that's, I would say no.
I might have to agree with Rob, man. He didn't. Yeah, I think, like, once you know what he can do, how does he win? Like, once you, like, if
he's, it's like a one. He's got like one shot, because then you figure it out.
Right. Yeah. Because I'm saying, like, let's say the villains go, all right, we did our scouting reports on these guys, or he's the villain that we're about to fight. This is what he does, guys. I think what is he doesn't his combat skills are cool. They're all right. He hasn't. He needs time to master
the thing, the cloth thing.
The cloth that Eraserhead has. If he does, like, if he doesn't use the voice, like you said, yeah, it's like, I think if he figures it out, he could be an absolute just animal. But right now, I'm just like, I wasn't, I guess, too impressed. I guess Rob kind of said majority of it. I'm just like, that was cool. If I accepted him in the program, it's because I'm like, yo, I know what you can be. But based off this, no. But if I would accept him, be like, yo, you give him my tutelage, he's gonna be probably top three students out of here. But other than that, what I saw, it was cool. Brennan loved him because Brennan was saying he's better than the dude from Jujutsu Kaisen.
Really?
And I don't believe that at all after watching this. No way. It's not even close.
I think I would accept him into the hero course for two reasons. Number one, the massive amount of growth we saw from him. Mm-hmm. When we say the growth, because before he was exactly what you said. He was literally a one-trick pony. But now he's learning from one of the greatest heroes, Eraserhead.
Yep.
And can move through move with that like Spider-Man and was making a great use of it. That alone was a power in itself. No question about it. That's the whole reason why Eraserhead uses it. Remember when Eraserhead was rocking those dudes in the first season with it?
Yes.
Like, yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, when you said
yes.
That.
Yes. Well, that's what I'm saying. I think potentially when he gets the hang of that, he's going to be a monster.
Well, I think he has a pretty good hang of it, though. Like, he was hanging with, like, everybody with it. Like, the first fight, he hesitated. But the second fight, he was scrapping with Midoriya with it. Like, he doesn't have any physical power.
He had that one move where it was like, grab the pipes, bring pipes down.
Yeah, grab the pipes, bring pipes down. But he also was like, let me escape, let me move. Like, the way he was moving and stuff like that, I was like, can you imagine how long it would take and how hard it would be to learn how to do the things he's doing with just some stuff wrapped around his neck? It's not a power.
Yeah, like, apparently, what is it, Eraser said it took him like 8 years to figure it out or something like
that's
that?
That's what I'm saying. So, like, you look at that and how quickly he progressed just with that. And then even the idea to have the support mask that makes it so that all the communications for all of the people you're fighting are broken down immediately, even if you know what he does. You can't talk to anybody anymore. You have to change the way that you do every single part of a fight and strategize and communicate because simply because of his presence, not even because of what he physically does. So for me, I'm like, yeah, my man's in it. And I think that he's in it. Not only he's just going to have to continue that same work ethic of what he did for those cloths.
Yeah, I see what you're saying there, but I feel like when Rob broke it down, it's like they immediately pretty much fixed that issue. Like,
seemed like they adjusted.
They adjusted like
well, they adjusted,
like
but
that.
It made their lives so much more difficult. So that he's not going to be a hero you send out by himself by any stretch of the imagination. You know what I'm saying? But like as a part of a team, he's a monster. You know, as soon as any of the villains see him, even just know he's even possibly coming, you have to have a whole strategy about him. Like that, like doesn't what other hero do you have to have like a whole strategy besides like an All Might? Or an Endeavor, like the whole strategy has to be about, okay, we can't talk.
I don't
only
know
what... talk when they're looking at me in the face.
Yeah.
You know
yeah.
what I'm saying? Shit like that. It's like,
yeah.
Imagine if he got one of their radio comms. It'd be over.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know what the strategy is for All Might other than just like pray. Like, yeah. I don't know. Just.
I'm like with this dude. If you see him on a battlefield, it's like, all right, don't say anything. Just beat his ass. And then it's over. Because he's not the best fighter. So you run towards him. He's okay with these right now.
But that's my point. It's like, but that's why he always gets paired with his teammates. You know what I'm saying? Just like the purple guy with the little... Would you rather have him on your team or the guy with the purple balls? He's in the hero course. That's what I'm saying. You're saying, what's the barrier of entry?
What's the situation?
Him or Invisible Girl? You know what I'm saying?
No, okay, yeah. Honestly, Mineta is...
Mineta, or the belly button laser guy.
For me, Mineta has leapfrogged Invisible Girl and probably Naval Laser Guy too.
Yeah.
But my point being is like, would you rather have those two... Or one of those two, or would you rather have this guy to control people's minds?
I
want to
know how they got in the course. Who put them?
But they're
in the course?
There. It doesn't matter why they're there. They're there. So the question is, would you put them in the course? I'm like, not only will I put them in the course, he can have air spots.
That's what out. I would do. I would do you're that. I'm like, all right, yeah, we're gonna put you in there, but you got to get bumped down, bro, for sure.
You're down in general studies.
Just saying. If you just look at object instead of saying like, could he be the greatest hero of all times? Like, y'all's standard is so high for what we're talking about. Like,
no, I'm going on this question.
I get it, but the hero course is like, not everybody's really going to be a hero like that.
If Rob's question was swapping somebody from 1A,
no, but
from 1B,
it's not about
like,
swapping. It's just more so like he said should be in the hero course, and I'm like, he's already better than some of the people in the hero course, in my eyes.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
Rob,
that's fair. That's fine.
The high pitch is always so different.
It's so funny, Ross. Okay. I agree.
It's fine.
You got it.
All right. This question was to me a lot of fun. Only using the characters that you've seen from Class 1A versus Class 1B battle. So nobody else outside of this, like no Lumineon, nothing like that. Choose one character and how you would improve their quirk. For me, I chose Coda. I thought this dude can control the animals and insects.
Mm-hmm.
Animals and insects. This dude can possibly be one of the most craziest and dangerous heroes. Because this is what I would do. If I was him or if I was his teacher, I'd be like, bro, study all insects in every fucking region of this whole world. Study all of them. Know which ones are the most dangerous, which ones can paralyze, which ones can kill, which flies, all that stuff. Gather the ones that you feel like you can keep with you. Keep them with you, and wherever you get sent to fighting, know that region of where bugs are. If you're going to a southern hemisphere region where the weather's kind of weird, know all the bugs that are there so you can use and control them. You know what you can do. You can specifically get a certain fly that's over there that if it stings you, boom, you got that bitch.
Yeah.
Because this dude right here, whoever he's fighting, if he gets that type of skill level, he's going to be difficult to beat. Because as soon as you're walking up, yeah, we about to go rob these banks. Oh, shit. Is that a fly? Oh, God, here we go. I'm out of here. Oh, shit, I didn't even know.
That would be tough.
That's, like, you're not going to even know what's coming to you. Or you, let's say you're a villain, and it's like, oh, man, I love cats. And then all of a sudden a cat comes to you, you go pet the cat, and you got these bugs on you now, you didn't even see them. It's like he can do some dangerous, he can be very, very, very dangerous in my opinion.
I'm just laughing, babe. Like, as your eyes are closing, all you see is, like, this duck bill. It's like... standing over top, you're like, oh God, they got me, Coda.
Yeah. He just looking at them like,
goofy,
I mean,
costume.
They're just singing Tony Baker, look at who we came to see, we them ducks.
With the ducks, you better.
So when I saw that, I was just like, damn, I didn't realize how powerful or how crazy this dude's, like, limited his power could be. Like, even with Midoriya, like, how would he fight him?
Yeah.
Like, if this dude actually was at his potential, and even Midoriya was, it's like...
Wind pressure.
I mean, that's if you see me. Like, if I'm he's not gonna fight you head up. It's like if I'm him, I'm like, all right, Midoriya, he's just too powerful. I can't fight him head up, face to face. So when he's looking for me, as soon as a fly gets in his face or whatever the case may, he gets stung by a bee, the fight can be over if it's the wrong type of insect. It's literally done. He's done for.
Yep.
That's why I chose him. I just think he has a hell of potential. I think he's super dope. He's underutilized like a motherfucker right now, but I think he has a lot of potential. Brennan.
Momo. Girl can create anything from her skin.
Yeah.
I mean, guys. Like, I would...
Anything.
Anything. I'd be like, I'd just be, like, she could just be the Punisher. Like, a weapons master. She's like, okay, let's just put a cannon with some t-shirts in it and shoot it over the hood. Like, what?
What's her limit right now? What's her limit?
I mean, they haven't really shown, like, she has to just know the molecular structure of everything.
And it's something like she can...
Lipids.
It's something about her, the lipids, like the
only
sugar
how many
she
lipids,
had.
Yeah, however many lipids she can create or whatever.
Okay.
But the thing is, like, you can create small things that are very dangerous. Oh, I don't know, a handgun.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, the things that she doesn't use or create, like, if she didn't care about killing people, even if she wanted to, like, all right, tranquilizer gun, bloop, bloop. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
You know, like, if I was her, like, she's just very, like, she's like, I'm going to be very strategic and just da-da-da. I'd just be like, you're going to die.
If she fights somebody like Stain, or mm-hmm. one of those, what are those Nobus, whatever they're called?
Yeah, the Nomus.
Oh, Nomus. How do you think she would fare up against that in that fight? Weapon-wise? Because right now...
I would create two things if I was her.
Okay.
A rocket pack and a nuclear bomb.
Well, damn. She has to leave a city... She's got to leave a city standing.
Like, does she got to win? Like,
are you right? You said she don't care about killing people.
That's what I'm saying. Like,
I guess.
If she really wanted to win every fight, she could win it. You know what I'm saying?
Just
or even just like,
place.
It could even, it doesn't have to be a nuclear bomb. It could be a plasma bomb. You know what yeah. I'm saying? It could be an asphyxiation bomb. You know what I'm saying? Or whatever. It's
a bit
like,
of a Pyrrhic victory.
There's so,
but...
If you really look, like, all I'm saying is like, if you really look at like how deep and evil weapons have become and can be.
Yeah.
Oh,
and
absolutely.
She did that and did the research and is like, I can create, you know,
that's
like
real?
Chemical warfare. You
yeah.
know what I'm saying? So Nomu shows up and is like, all right, everybody leave the area. I'm gonna dissolve all the oxygen in the air.
Bro, she would be a crazy villain.
That's what I'm saying.
She
that's
could
my
be
point.
Crazy, yeah. Just like, oh,
yeah.
I made mustard gas.
That's what I'm saying. So it's like, what's a Nomu gonna do? Because the thing is, like, the basic thing is Nomu still breathe. They're still alive.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's like, just she can attack whatever she wants in that space. So you're like, how could she beat a Nomu? A lot of different ways. You know what I'm saying?
I wanted to hear your answer. Because
yeah.
I wanted to see how you would utilize her
oh,
powers.
Oh, I'll be, don't let me utilize her powers. I'll be, oh. Go ahead, Rob.
Rob.
Actually, I switched up my answer kind of based off of what you were saying, Keenan. And I don't necessarily think this is somebody that has a super high ceiling, but similar to what you were saying about Coda, I think with the right amount of training, this person could be absolutely fucking deadly. And this is the Mushroom Girl. I think her power more than anybody by the end of the match terrified me.
Yeah, it did.
The fact that she was making mushrooms grow in Tokoyami's lungs and he couldn't breathe was absolutely terrifying. And if she could like get that to a different level where like, oh, okay, like I'm getting spores up your nose, but if you inhale them and like, okay, she starts like making mushrooms grow in your stomach. They could be poisonous mushrooms. They could be trippy mushrooms.
Yeah.
They could make you sick.
Oh, wow.
She could like either kill you, make you start like tripping balls, or just like make you like absolutely sick to your stomach to the point where like you could be the strongest dude. You could be All Might, but if you got food poisoning, you're not going to be on your A, B, or probably C game. You're going to be in trouble. She could be
All Might.
Just like throwing up and shit in his pants, just trying to
just doing the Midoriya finger flicks.
Yeah.
But I think she could be an absolute monster and definitely another person that like if she wanted to go the villain route, she would be an absolute problem for people. I think she could be a very difficult person and could be a
you
huge
know who
role
would
player.
Fuck her up badly though?
Who's that?
Endeavor.
Yeah, if somebody could burn those away, if she comes up against Dobby, she's in trouble.
Dobby or she's like all the air just becomes fire and it's like, oh, that's crazy. There used to be spores here. Now it's your turn.
Yeah.
It's like she had to get something inside the body real quick.
And
or
Loki,
she's
he might just
trouble.
Go blow well, thing, well, I don't, burn his insides up. He wouldn't give a shit. Dobby.
No, well, the thing that's not good about her power though is that she can create the spores, but she can't take them away. You know what I'm saying? So like when he's choking, like she could kill her friends and it's like they're in there. She's like, I can't stop it.
Is what you it
know,
is.
That's shitty.
If she doesn't care about people, she doesn't care about saving lives.
She doesn't care about saving lives. Everybody dies.
Yep.
It's funny because at first she was low key trash to me.
And then
that happened, and I was like, "Holy shit!
Game changer."
Yeah, that was literally the game changer moment when I was just like, "Okay, she's scared." Because it was putting them on her faces. I was like, "Who cares about this? It's uncomfortable."
Just brush them off. Yeah. It's not a big deal. But then she could be like an eco terrorist, just suffocating people. Yeah.
All right. I'll let Brennan answer this last question probably on his own. It was his question. Unless you want to answer it,
I mean, I'll see what he says and maybe I can add or
you know,
say if I agree, disagree.
So last question. What's the connection between All for One and One for All? What do you see the origin story being?
So to give reference for this is, you know, we do see that there is a connection for All for One and the connection of One for All, as in like they were born of two brothers. Kind of. It feels like All for One had a huge love for his brother, and his quirk was to be to take quirks and give quirks. And he gives a setup of saying like, hey, I found a quirk that even works for you, kind of thing that works really well for you. And, you know, I don't have a full answer for this, but it feels to me like this is a space where he found a quirk that can hold multiple quirks is really what it could do. And was just like, this is the only way that I can be able to, like, that can give you the power that you need to be able to be in this world because you're weak. Mm-hmm. And so this is the best one. Like, if you had a brother that you cared about so deeply that you wanted to change their mind about the way that you're trying to change the world, then you give them the best gift you can. And so I think this is the best quirk he found. And it was just like, yo, like, brother, like, come on, man, be on my team. And gave him this quirk. And his brother took it to another level and was just like, all right, this quirk is bigger than you even thought it was, brother. It's a generational quirk. This isn't a quirk that just like, you know, is just going to give me the ability to have these enhance the abilities of whatever quirk you give me. Cause that's probably what the quirk is. The ability to enhance another quirk.
Cause that, the guy did say like, this is even better than what I have.
Exactly.
Like, yeah.
And to be able to hold energy is really what it feels like. The quirk can hold enhance energy or something like that. And so it's a generational one, you know? So it's like, as it gets passed down, it gets more powerful and it can hold and hold and hold. And now it's releasing, which is just crazy. But I mean, that's my theory. Like, I feel like there's so many different ways it can go that it's just like, they're doing such a good job of teasing it for. Cause if you think back to like what we felt about All for One or One for All in season one, it's like, all we considered it was All Might. It's like, yo, this is an overwhelmingly powerful quirk. That's a physical manifestation of power. That's we've never seen in most shows. It's like, if you remember, like for me, my face was blown off when All Might punched the goo and changed the weather. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You remember that? Like, he did one punch that literally changed the weather just from the wind pressure from his fist.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, what in the... Who fights that?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So I'd say that it's... I don't know is the actual answer, but I wanted to hear if you guys had any theories that go beyond mine. Specifically looking at Rob, as I'm sure you know, Keenan. I want to hear your theories as well, but, you know, Rob, you just be, like, pulling shit out. Like, well, actually, that one time his left toe tweaked. You know?
No, I mean, I'm on board with a lot of what you said, and I think there's definitely a possibility that either he was weak or, like Deku and All Might, may have been somebody that never manifested a quirk. you know, and he's just like, you never had anything, so we didn't think I could give you anything, but now I found a way for you to have a quirk.
Yeah.
So I think he just may be the start of something where I had thought maybe that it had been, you know, like each person maybe didn't have a quirk, and that was sort of how they picked that person, because that certainly seems to be the last few, but clearly that's not the case at all. So it's interesting to see. It'll be interesting to see where that, I guess it would have started with All Might's teacher. That must be where that strength quirk came from, because otherwise he would know, hey, what I'm using isn't what my teacher had.
But you think your teacher would tell her, though, because like then her predecessor.
And the only thing she knew is that she had a vision, because this is something I didn't cover in the recap. She had a vision that Gran Torino had remembered, like, oh yeah, one time she told me I had a dream that I felt was real, where somebody told me
it's not time yet or something.
It's not time yet.
No, but even still, like, she still had to get the hair or the DNA from someone else.
From someone else.
My point being is, so did she never talk to that person? That person give it to her in their dying breath? Because how come she didn't know about their quirk?
That's a good point.
You know
point.
What I'm saying? Because you would think, like, if this was that powerful of a quirk, you'd be passing down the information as well.
Mm. Yeah.
And All Might didn't know shit.
No.
She did a horrible job as a mentor to All Might.
Yeah, he is clueless right now. He doesn't seem to know anything about All For One at this point. Or One For All. But do I have any theories about how they're connected? I think, I don't know. The thing that stands out to me right now is that All For One somewhere is aware that this awakening is happening. So they definitely seem to be still connected at some level.
All For One is so terrifying.
And it's almost in, like, to use a Harry Potter thing, maybe it's like a Voldemort thing where they're just like connected. He can kind of see into the mind of whoever has it because he created the power. So you're part of me at this point.
Mm.
So this still could be part of what All For One is. But yeah, no, I think it's going to be really interesting to see what the other powers are and how they work together. But their connection, I don't know. There's a lot of me just scratching my head right now, waiting to see what comes next. Cause I don't know. I think this is going to all be maybe wrapped up into, you know, the origins of quirks on Earth or whatever. I think it clearly goes back a while, because I don't know if we've heard how old All For One is, but he's got to be
hundred years old.
Yeah.
At least.
And right? Still kicking.
And still, like, kicking.
Terrifyingly kicking.
Yeah, not, like, on death's door at all. Like, just in prison.
All For One's most terrifying attribute to me is that he just creates these supervillains easily. Like, just like, I met somebody. I like this. Bloop. That's mine now. And he can just hold as many quirks as he wants and just be like, I give this one to you.
Yeah.
I give these two to you.
Yeah, but I think you're right that he didn't necessarily understand what he was giving to his brother.
I don't think he understood the strength of his brother's resolve is really what I think. I think he underestimated his brother's resolve.
And the fact that it can get stronger and stronger over generations and be passed down and just add up in a much more organic way than just stealing.
I think the entire show is going to climax on a moment that Midoriya meets and has a conversation with his All For One's brother.
Mm-hmm.
And he tells him the final secret or some shit. And then he finally defeats One For All. I mean, All For One.
I could see that.
Okay. Good answers from both of you guys.
Oh, thanks.
Oh, thank you, Kenan.
You got any thoughts?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, cool.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like you guys kind of touched on it. Nothing groundbreaking, so there's no necessarily point.
Gotcha.
Let's get into questions. Let's get into our likes, dislikes of these first, 11 episodes, are they?
11 episodes.
11 episodes. Yeah. Likes, dislikes, overall score, Rob?
So, likes. I thought they did a pretty good job of giving everybody a little bit of a moment to shine. Except for the belly guy. I thought even he did have his little sparkly disco ball moment where he made things tough for the shadow guy, but he still got captured. So I don't know. All that to say, I thought they did a good job at giving everybody a moment. You got to see how some of these people that, like, I don't know. And that's what the show's always done well, is like, oh, how does this quirk work? And then they find a way to make it cool and make it like,
I totally agree. Except for the navel laser.
Except for nasal laser.
Yeah.
But so that was that'd probably be my like. My dislike. I would say, for as they did have some high points, I thought, you know, the Todoroki and Aida fight had some really great animation. Bakugo's fight had some great animation. And I would say the rest of the fights themselves left me a little underwhelmed. I didn't think, other than, it was cool to see Deku get this new power, but I wasn't necessarily super blown away by that all-out brawl, as they called it.
Yeah.
It just sort of felt like, okay, well, he got that, and then he was just like, well, I can't use it now, because I can only use it when I get to 100%, and I'm only at 20 right now. Let me crank up to 3%. He went super low with it, so, which I understand he's not trying to kill anybody, but I was just sort of disappointed with some of the overall action of it, I guess, with those exceptions that I mentioned. But that being said, you know, it's fun to be back with My Hero. I think it's been about a year since we've seen it. It's definitely good to see them back towards a, you know, building on their hero experience. We're not just doing like a Battle of the Bands type thing.
Whack.
Yeah. And it was cool to see the class one, the 1B guys get to do some cool stuff. So yeah, I would say overall, I would give this stretch of episodes a 6,800.
Okay. Likes. Just seeing everybody and seeing how the majority of people made some type of improvement. I enjoyed that. I kind of agree with Rob. I feel like it wasn't, I'll be real with you. What I didn't like is I feel like they're about to make Todoroki just this third tier. Like, he's just going to never get a real shining, really moment to me. Because they had him. He had a dope moment to possibly have, and then he ends up passing out. I was just like, come on, bro. Give my guy who has some of the dopest powers on his show a dope-ass, super dope moment like this. He's never – I feel like he should be considered the strongest at some point and then maybe lose that to Bakugo or Midoriya, but they're not going to give it to him. They're going to Vegeta him, I think.
Yeah.
I think they're going to make him Vegeta. He's going to never reach the potential that he's supposed to reach because his dad, he's just like, well, I don't necessarily want to be the best hero. Yeah. I think it's going to be some bullshit like that. So I actually didn't like the Todoroki moment that much. I was very disappointed in it. Animation looked pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this stretch wasn't that amazing to me either. Like, I thought it was okay. I will give this stretch 6,700.
Okay.
Brandon?
All right, so the likes are... the Bakugo fight for sure. And actually, the thing I really, really liked was when the character who can steal a quirks touched Midoriya and tried to activate it, and then he was like, a dud? And it didn't work. And they're like, it's a bluff. Like, it's not, you can't bluff the green electricity around you. Mm. I think that says a lot. I also like the furthering of the story when it comes to what All for One really is, or One for All and All for One really are. I think that's really important, as well as the character development and seeing the progression of characters that we didn't think would do much, starting to actually learn how to be heroes. And this is the first time the class actually looks like they're really practicing. This is like the first time they've been able to start and finish an actual course in something to learn how to be a hero.
Yeah.
The show is called My Hero Academia, and this is the first time it's actually been academic for real.
Yeah.
That being said, I didn't really enjoy like the first fight with, you know, the shadow guy. It's like, oh, like the big moment for that whole fight was like, he can fly. You know, just like, what? I don't care.
Yeah.
Like, I guess that's cool, but like a lot of characters can fly. You know, Bakugo can fly himself. You know, he's been doing this since season 2. But all that to say, like, I found that fight to be very boring. I saw there's 4 fights, right?
5.
There's 5 fights. 2 of them were trash. And one was okay. And the other two were like, one of the other one was good. And then the Bakugo fight was incredible.
Yeah.
And so that's not a good ratio. But I do like how it's setting up what's coming next, because even though we all agree that we didn't particularly thoroughly enjoy these episodes, the second to last episode, me and Rob were super hyped about to learn about what All for One was.
That's true.
One for All. Super hyped for that. I'm sure you were as well.
Mm-hmm.
And then what we're set changer. Up. And now we're just like glued to the TV. Like, we have to see what happens next because of what this season has done so far to set us up. So far, this has just been a big setup. So it's hard for me to just judge this and be like, yo, like, it has a standalone. How great is this? I'm just like, it's not that great, but what it's setting up is going to be. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I'm going to go, you know, 6,800 is fine. But I feel like it's unfair to rate this portion without seeing the rest of the season, because this is a setup for the rest of the season.
Certainly. I'm not saying I'm out on the season or the show based off this.
I know. I think you guys are saying the same thing as me. I'm not saying anything separate.
Definitely.
Hasn't My Hero always done this? Like, sets you up, kind of rock you to sleep a little bit at the beginning, and then it goes, oh. I feel like season 4 did that too. Maybe it was just season four.
No, like the last season was like the first half of it was the stupid band, wasn't it?
No, that was the back half. The first half was
the back half, exactly.
I would say it was the inverse last season where.
But then they got to the Endeavor stuff after the.
Yeah, it was only two episodes.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it was kind of up here, then down, and then kind of like came way back up.
Prominence!
Because that was crazy. Yeah. But like their whole thing going up against the dude that could. What was it? He could like kind of change his body or whatever. The dude with the bird mask. I thought that was pretty dope.
Oh, yeah. Overhaul.
Oh, my. Overhaul. Yeah, good lord. Overhaul.
That was how season four started, I think.
Yeah.
With them going off and doing their
internships.
It started
with Overhaul killing one of the League of Villains.
So it started. Yeah. But yeah, he was pretty much at the start of that arc. Yeah.
Overhaul is terrifying. Like, touched the guy and disintegrated his body.
RIP.
I liked him because he was willing to kill, and that makes the stakes higher.
Overhaul might be one of my favorite villains in the show.
He was up
there's
there.
A lot of, that's what he's, makes this show. This show has a lot of really good villains.
Is he dead at this point, or is he just like insane and hampered? Because like, didn't they take his limbs or something?
Yeah, dude destroyed like I think his hands or his arms because you know that's pretty much where his powers is. It's like using his hands I think what's gonna happen is he's gonna either get a quirk from either One for All or whatever, and it's gonna either be able to reheal him, or maybe they might even steal that girl at some point again and get her to. I don't know.
Reverse it.
Yeah, but I think he's going to get his powers back. It'll be a waste.
Yeah.
They already wasted Stain.
Stain could come back. Stain's just in a cell somewhere, and I think he absolutely could come back.
Stain is definitely coming back, and he's going to come back as a hero, in my opinion.
Maybe. I mean, he was never really a villain, though.
That's my point. He's going to come back, and he's going to aid the heroes when they really need. He's going to help Midoriya. Because remember, he already did help him once.
Yeah, he definitely was like, okay, you're on the right track. Mm-hmm. Yeah. He said Deku was like...
He saved him from the Nomu, remember?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay.
Side note, I also think that Stain has his ability isn't just for licking the blood. I think he can actually do it with his eyes. If he looks you in the eye, he can freeze you.
That's nuts.
Because you think about it, at the end of that episode, right before his lung punctured, even Endeavor couldn't move. Like he took it off and he got mad and everybody was frozen. Everybody.
Yeah. I always was wondering what that actually was. I thought Endeavor just froze like he was like, he bitched up. That's what I thought it was.
I think that his power, his quirk, actually is to be able to freeze anybody who he gets his eye contact with.
That could be scary.
Man. And then it's like, it could take it to the next level. If he tastes your blood, then he can do it for extended periods of time. But if he's looking at you, he can make you freeze.
Yeah.
And he did it for a whole group of people at once.
Which is pretty crazy.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I am excited for the back half of this. I might wait on reading the manga now because I want to see what this next episode. Because I want them to get about that action. I want them to go now. Fight against some real. I want them to be at risk now. We did these little games. I need them to go out in the world and be at risk to possibly lose some shit.
I think it's about to go ham, fam. I think that some of those villains that All for One has created are about to start attacking shit, and they're not gonna have a real answer. I think Endeavor's gonna die, and then they're gonna be like, "What the fuck do we do?" Tell me Endeavor's death would not put this show over the top of one of the best.
I think especially
ever.
if he comes back around as a family man and we're just kind of like, oh, you know, I'm ready to forgive Endeavor. And I think he's not so bad. And
Endeavor,
his kids are like.
And All Might both die. If both of them get killed by these villains, this show becomes top tier anime.
I think All Might getting killed at some point is like an inevitability.
Yeah. But either way, it's going to be really sad.
Yeah, you know? No, for sure.
Yeah, I don't know where. I told you, like, I've been on YouTube, and then they'll just be like, so-and-so. I'm like, fuck.
Don't you dare.
I'm not.
Thank you.
I'm just looking at it like, all right, at this point, All Might can't.
I'm going to kick you out that chair, motherfucker.
He can't fight. He doesn't know what's going on with One for All anymore. Like,
yeah.
What is he doing?
He's almost useless. I think he's going to probably end up going soon. But they're going to target him for sure. And then I think that's what Deku's probably going to either explode or go ham at some point. Endeavor, I think, I don't know if that's going to be, I just feel like what Endeavor is going to be, he has a while to go before, I just think he's going to be number one for a while.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I don't necessarily disagree with that. I think he probably will also probably get killed at some point, but probably, I think All Might first.
Whoever's writing this, they're terrible for doing that. Make this guy this evil person, and then all of a sudden, make him love him as a father figure. Yeah, yeah. And then if they do, be like, well... We're gonna take him away.
That's great writing.
Yeah,
it's horrible and great writing at the same time. It makes you, it pulls yeah. your heartstrings, and you just like, ah, you bastard.
You hate him, then you love him, then you're sad to see him go.
Sad to see him go. All right, well, you guys want to drop your stuff?
Rob? Oh, yeah. Actually, shout out. Yeah, I had a shout out. Actually, come back to me because I want to make sure I get this handle right. And I did have somebody in mind.
All right, I stand my guy on everything, Brennan.
I'm at Brennan the Best.
Kingdom Breaker on everything. Animation podcast on everything. SHUN. Rob.
Yeah. So actually, this week I want to give a shout out to Anthony Connor. You can follow him on Instagram at Acon Draws. That's A-C-O-N-N Draws. He's actually in our animation group chat. Mm-hmm. He's been with us for a while. He's got some great work up on there. I think he had a kid recently, so it looks like he's been kind of taking a break from doing that. I understand fatherhood is something you gotta.
His work is really good.
But his work is really good.
Yeah, it is.
And so hopefully, you know, after a while, you know, the kid gets a little bit older. You don't have to be changing the diapers every 15, 20 minutes. You can pick up the pencil and paper and get back to work because he does some great stuff. So follow him on Instagram. I'm not sure if he's on Twitter. Didn't do that great with my homework, but his stuff on Instagram is great. So check it out, Acon Draws.
All right. So let us know what you think in the comment section about these stretch of episodes of My Hero. Answer the questions. I want to see who y'all think power-wise, who would you enhance their power and how would you do it? Answer all the questions that we're asking here, as always. We thank y'all for tuning in to another episode of Animation.
We out. Peace.
And so anime was solved forever.